The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. That means they were once the only Ford dealership in Tampa. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry, drive Curry. Since 1960, they've been delivering top shelf service, pricing, caring about the community. Check them out, BillCurryFord.com. We'll be talking plenty about them today.
All right, couple of things. One, no excuses from Winfield.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. The Sage is here. He's the water damage whisperer. He's Mr. Bill Curry Ford. He's the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. This podcast needs a little introductory explanation, and I'll get to that in a minute. Florida's Elite Restoration, you have got to get to their website, Florida'sElitereStoration.com, if you're a homeowner. So you know who to call when you have any sort of disaster at your property. Water damage is an absolute killer. You have to address it immediately. Fire, flood, mold, storm damage. They're licensed mold remediation specialists. They're also a one-stop shop, so they can handle everything from the restoration to repair and to replacement. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Check out their five-star Google reviews. They are family-owned. Owner Josh Martin, he's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you. Just mention Ira when you first call. And after your free evaluation at your property with the best technology, after they lay it all out for you, what it needs to be done to restore your property, if you go with them, you'll get $500 back because you mentioned Ira when you first called. That could be money for your deductible. Remember, they have decades of experience as adjusters on the insurance side of the business, so they know exactly how to make sure you get what's coming to you and your home is going to be restored properly with minimum out of pocket by you. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. They're friends of ours. You've heard owner Josh Martin on the podcast. Just go to their website now so you're ready. Put them in your disaster plan. Simple as that. All right. So we recorded this podcast just as Baker Mayfield was talking to the media a little bit before his youth camp that was hosted at One Buck Palace again this year. So as most fans have already heard, Baker explained, yes, we've started the negotiations process, but we're far apart. You know, he wasn't really pleased with the Bucs' offer, but he expressed his appreciation for the organization, the love of his teammates, that the staff knows how much he cares. And he wasn't negative, he wasn't positive, just that's how it is right now. And it is early June. So this was no surprise to us at JoeBucksFan.com. And while we recorded the podcast, we thought about, well, should we get together, talk about this Mayfield news? We're going to get to it next podcast, give you a little bit more insight from what we've been digging up when we're all together. But I think the important thing to take away from what Mayfield said the other day is that the Bucs have gone from talking about wanting Mayfield long term to actually putting a contract in front of him, numbers on a page. Baker, we want you for multiple years. We want to extend your contract. Here's what we're offering. Now, Mayfield didn't like it, but the fact that the Bucs actually put words and numbers together on a piece of paper for Mayfield and in the form of a contract offer, that says a lot. That's beyond the talking stage. So the Bucs are committed to Mayfield. It's just a question of how committed, how much do they want to pay him. There's no reason why they wouldn't want value or expect value. They've been good to Mayfield, and he's been good to them, and the two sides will figure out what's in between. But that's really the biggest takeaway right now, is that the Bucs actually did decide to make that move. And the franchise tag, for those wondering, in 2027 is expected for quarterbacks to be $50 million. I think it's like $50.4 million, something like that. So that's always a sort of a barometer point, an important number when negotiating in advance for a quarterback extension, because that's the hammer. That's the franchise tag. Okay, we can secure you for 50 point whatever million. So the contract's going to revolve around that. Where it lands, is it Daniel Jones money? Is it Sam Darnold money? Is it higher, more toward Brock Purdy money, and Mayfield's looking for something to break the bank? Not sure. But if I had to guess, I would think it's somewhere in the $45 to $50 million range over 3 years, and Mayfield wants more than that. So we'll see. But we've got plenty to get to with the Sage today, hitting on all kinds of topics. He talked to Antoine Winfield solo and more from his sit down with Jason Light. And of course, our usual brand of Buccaneers silliness and thoughts. And in our style, we appreciate all of you who support us here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. You can subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, iHeartRadio app, and of course, so many of our listeners directly right at JoeBucksFan.com. We love you as well. Here we go. We're diving right in.
Lee's expecting some big, big news out of that mandatory minicamp.
Am I?
Steve's expecting Mayfield to be bestowed a brand new contract. We shall see. It's an exciting time if you're a Bucks fan right now because they got these new players, and I think we all agree the enthusiasm the other day, I don't remember it being like that. So I'm chalking that up to some of these new guys.
Now, the folks listening may not realize you're being sarcastic. Lee's not expecting big news. I'm not expecting a Mayfield contract in June coming up with the minicamp. But yeah,
I'm trying to whet people's appetites.
Okay. Well, the 49ers canceled minicamp, which is the mandatory portion of it. They said that, hey, we had 100% attendance at our voluntary stuff, like the Bucks are doing and other teams. And most teams have 9 OTA days, they call it, spring practices. And mandatory minicamp is the same thing. There's no difference. All shorts and T-shirts,
except
football.
You can be fined if you don't show up.
Right. Yeah. Other than it being mandatory. But they said they had 100% attendance. So
it's uncommon. It's uncommon to cancel it. It's uncommon.
You think that's going to motivate the Bucks next couple of weeks to, like, hey, if I get off my rear end now, I'll have June off or end of June off?
I guess it's possible that the Bucks could do something like that. But that's not in Todd Bowles' wheelhouse. Most of these coaches, they want more work.
More likely, he'll cancel the last day of mandatory.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That might be on the table.
Yeah.
I think last year, didn't they just pretty much break a sweat and then, okay, that's it. The last day of
mini camp. Sometimes they just go for an hour or in past years, they've canceled it.
You think we're reading too much into this refreshing energy and enthusiasm, Steve, for underwear football? I mean, does it mean anything when you're facing Ja'Marr Chase in September? Does it matter?
That's a tough question, Ari. You're asking me.
It looks like they're having fun out there.
Does it matter if a team seems more focused and energized in June? So maybe it'll matter. Veteran players say this is when the seeds of your culture and your focus are planted, but I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think it's more a byproduct of having so many new players that want to prove themselves.
Lee, the reason I bring it up is, among a lot of factors, the collapse of 25 was a lack of enthusiasm.
Partly.
And a lack of passion. That's what it looked like, Lee. That's what it looked like. You can play bad and still be energetic. They had the exacter of playing lousy and going through the motions. That's unacceptable.
It's great to be, you know, happy and motivated and hollering and screaming, but at the end of the day, what do you do on the field? And generally, if you do well on the field, you will be excited and motivated and pumped up. You use the word fun, you just triggered Bucks fans. Don't ever use the word fun with football, because that gives people flashbacks to Gerald McCoy, and they don't like that. So watch what you say around fun. I mean, I'm serious. I know when you said the word fun, you could just hear screeching tires all across the Tampa Bay area with people getting into wrecks and slamming on the brakes. We don't want Gerald McCoy.
Is McCoy unpopular right
now? Very, very unpopular.
Why? Because some of these
things? He wasn't sap.
Because what he's saying about the Bucks?
Because he wasn't sap. No, that's why he's unpopular. Very unpopular.
I think he's more polarizing. Like, I don't know if he's unpopular, but he has a lot of people who don't like him. So, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people who do like him and appreciate him. And if he went into the Ring of Honor, you'd have a lot of people cheering. And it's interesting.
The rap is he wasn't nasty, right?
Exactly.
He wasn't nasty.
But yet, Tristan Wirfs, as nice guy as he is, oh, Tristan, I love him. Which I do too. But McCoy did that. Oh!
To deeper answer your question, there have been plenty of NFL teams that, you know, tanked preseason games and looked like crap. And
it
didn't have life in the preseason and went on and were fantastic on opening day, and there they go. So it's hard to think.
I'd rather see it than not see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to put much into energy, but I think the real answer to the question as it relates to the 2026 Bucks is that they went out of their way to get more energy, get more juice, get more aggressive personalities and players. So if we weren't seeing that in the first practices, that would be a problem.
Yeah. Look, Lee, what strikes all of us is, I think it's an overhaul. It's a defensive overhaul. The offense is going to be tweaked. The defense is going to be overhauled.
It needed to be.
And it needed to be. The front seven on defense was the focus. And thank God they realized it, because every Buck fan realized it too.
I'm in the wait and see mode. I like the fact that they're making changes, but it all boils down to the defensive coordinator. Now, I've thrown this out on the site a couple of times. I think the Bucs have the horses to go much more five-man front than three-man front. But the defensive coordinator, that's not his bag. Now, once in a while, Bowles will go five-man front. He did in the playoffs against the Eagles at home when they pounded the Eagles. Hint, hint. Maybe that might have been a reason. But I'm unlike you guys. I'm in the doom and gloom crowd.
Wait a minute. We got him at 9-8. We're not raising any Super Bowl.
You're better than me.
All right. 9-8, that's not doom and gloom. Yeah, you can't argue with Lee when he's saying, hey, you guys got him as a winning team, and he's got him as a losing team. That's night and day.
I hope I'm dead wrong. Gosh, I hope I'm dead wrong. But I know they made a lot of moves. I would hope they're better, but as that evil word again, the same guy's calling the shots on defense.
Do you think they got enough, Steve, to develop a rotation of pass rushers where you're always going to have somebody fresh? They have enough?
Every team's got enough to have a rotation. Are they any good? You can rotate bad
guys. Well, I don't want just a name. Well, I want somebody that's proven.
We'll see if they produce, Ira. Now, there's a piece of news. Since you brought up the 49ers, I have some Mike Evans news for you.
Uh-oh.
But that might have to wait till a little bit later.
Oh, is this a tease?
Not really.
It's called the tease.
A little bit, maybe. It's going to upset some fans to a degree. And he spoke to the media, and I was riveted watching live.
It was not a Zoom call.
No.
Like the other one.
In person, his first time speaking to the San Francisco media, not like the original Zoom call where he looked kind of...
In the same building?
In 49ers headquarters, but media wasn't invited in to talk to him. But fresh off the practice field, you know, backdrop, the whole standard news conference situation. But the news, Ira, on a broader scale, and we can rope in the first part of it this week. This week, the Buccaneers learned that in the first four games of the season, not only will they not be facing Myles Garrett, but they will now not be facing Micah Parsons, who announced this week that he will not return until mid-October. And there's really no chance that he's coming back earlier because his entire focus is on being 100% for the postseason, and he's sticking to the timeline. So he will not play in Tampa week 4. Myles Garrett will not be there week 2.
The offseason fortunes continue to shine on this franchise, Lee.
Do I need to be the naysayer again?
Of course.
Before you finish chugging that beer that they're not facing Myles Garrett, they're still facing Jared Verse.
Well, very different players.
And they'll be facing Myles Garrett later in the season. Am I right?
Yeah.
The next to last game.
That was a bad game. That's a bad matchup without Miles.
That's very different. Exactly. Just what Lee said. On your 9-8 little Kaufman chart that you got in your
the Kaufman chart.
Secret room there in Newport Richie, you already had them down for losing to the Rams on that 9-8 chart.
Yeah.
So Miles Garrett going to the Rams, that doesn't change anything. But I look at it as the only chance the Bucs really had of being
as if Garrett's a game wrecker against the
exactly complete game wrecker. That was the Browns' chance to beat the Bucks. Garrett goes off 4.5 sacks, a couple of forced fumbles. Bucks lose. Now that's not going to happen.
And well, at least not Garrett. I'm a big Jared Verse guy.
So. I'm a Jared Verse guy too, but nobody's in Garrett's league.
No, you're right. He's a Hall of Famer. Verse is just a good player.
Yeah.
And if they lose week 2 to the Browns, no matter what the situation is, this is a whole different podcast.
But now week 4, we have the Micah Parsons situation here. So does this change your mindset? I know you said the Bucs have to get out of the first four games 2-2. But now are you thinking if they're any good, they're going to be 3-1?
Well, Cincinnati is a tough matchup.
Yes.
So I think 2-2 is my minimum. I think they're going to be 2-2 after the first month. That's what I think. Green Bay's a toss-up. With Parsons or without him, if Jacobs doesn't play, and who knows what's going to happen with Jacobs.
That's true.
He's as important as Parsons.
Yes, he is.
Because they love giving him the ball.
Offensively, yes.
You know, things keep shining on the Bucs' way. They're catching breaks left and right now. They don't want to admit it, but it's true.
I'm thinking they got to go 3-1 now. If they're going to be legit, you know, not that I had them losing to the Browns, but the Parsons thing, I think that has to be a W. And Minnesota's a team you should be able to beat, even though they got a lot of talent on that team. But the quarterback question is up in the air. They got some changes coming. It's early in the season. Maybe you have a home field advantage. Maybe.
We're looking at Kirk Cousins again?
What are we looking
at? Yeah, we're looking at Kyler Murray or McCarthy, depending on whatever happens there.
Those guys don't scare me. Kyler Murray doesn't scare me.
Well, I'll just say this. Who would you pick, Kyler Murray or Jacoby Brissett?
I think Murray's a little better.
Well, Jacoby Brissett had the Bucks on the ropes. So,
yeah.
Kyler Murray has played at like a top five quarterback at times.
It's been a while. It's
in
been
the
a while.
NFL, but he's played.
He's
that.
Capable.
He's shown it. We don't know. Jacoby Brissett's never played like a top 15 quarterback. And in the Bucks' defense in that game, I think it was more the offense because the Cardinals didn't score a lot of points.
Well,
there.
I do remember that game. That wasn't the first time that we learned, but that was the first time publicly we knew Todd Bowles unloaded on his defense.
Yeah, late in that game.
Yeah, it was like early fourth quarter. He teed off on him.
Minnesota's a funky team, Steve. I still don't know how they won 14 games 2 years ago. They're a funny team. You know, they let Danielle Hunter go. I don't know why.
They're
that
a funny
team.
Guy's
a stud. And Jefferson, I'm not sure they got anybody to get him the ball. He's great, but get him the ball. The running back is okay. Aaron Jones, he's okay. I like the coach, though. O'Connell's good.
I think O'Connell's good. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a funny team, you say, but they still win most of their games.
Funny how.
Last 2 years. I don't want to say nobody, but for them to go 9-8 last year.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good coaching. That's pretty good coaching.
In a strong division, they're a formidable team. But I still think the Bucs, if they're going to be legit, they got to go 3-1 because that game 5 Thursday night short week in Dallas, that's probably a loss. And if we're thinking that they're good, that's what they got to do.
Dallas is not, they're not Seattle or the Rams. They're a good team. They're not a great team, Dallas. Not a great team. You know, they got some firepower. Some. I don't know about their defense. Dallas's defense is nothing to write home about.
Oh, last year it was terrible. It made Bowles' defense look like Thursday.
But a road game on Thursday, difficult.
It's difficult. But hey, even Greg Schiano won a Thursday road game.
There you go.
So
in Minnesota. There you go. With a lunatic quarterback, and who knows?
good memory, Lee. Good memory.
Who knows what was going on over there in the Schiano era? We're presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealers, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Sage. Look, you had your private sit down with Jason Light that we heard a little bit about, but you also spent some private time with Antoine Winfield.
Wasn't a sit down. It was a stand up.
A stand up.
A stand up in the heat.
Same thing. What do we need to know from that?
All right, couple of things. One, no excuses from Winfield. He was relatively healthy. And how did he play? I played all right. Yeah. I just played all right. That's all I played. I can do a lot better. He likes Parrish.
Yeah.
He likes Morrison. Both of them. As young players.
Well, I think him and Morrison are kind of tight, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Likes both of them. Sick to his stomach. about last year's collapse. Sick. He says, first time I've been on this team where we didn't make the playoffs. So, you know, one thing I think fans forget, and I'm going to remind them when I type up Winfield's comments, I'm not trying to compare him to Rondé Barber's interception against the Eagles. I'm not. But in my mind, he made the biggest play in the 2020 postseason.
New Orleans.
I think the Bucs are going to lose that game.
Yeah, New Orleans takes a 2-score lead. Yep.
Take a 2-score lead. They were across midfield. They were already winning by 7. Mm-hmm. And he punched that ball out of Jared Cook's hands. That was a great play by Winfield. And then he had that incredible 23 season. Mm-hmm. He's all over the stat sheet. Mm-hmm. It was a Rondé Barber type season.
Yeah.
It was high praise.
Yeah.
That's high praise. And he set that tone. He got that big contract. And I'm looking for more flash plays from Winfield. So he didn't offer any excuses. And most guys say, I had a good season. He didn't.
Well, that's refreshing.
I like that.
Yeah.
Refreshing.
I got a question for you, Ira. And we both know this guy. I don't want to mention his name.
Because
he didn't tell me this for, you know, broadcasting purposes. This person has a theory about Winfield. The reason why he didn't make many splash plays last year, Bowles is trying to protect him from himself. He's had so many concussions that it got to the point where you're wondering, what's this guy's longevity going to be? Because he's having a concussion like twice a year. And this guy's theory is Bowles is protecting Winfield from himself because, number one, he wants him on the field. Number two, he wants to see the guy have a long career, not cut short by too many dings.
There might be a little something to that, Lee. Okay. I think they used him a little bit differently. I think they put him in the deep middle.
Yes.
And he doesn't make as many plays from there.
I don't know whether
that's injury related in terms of a thought in Bowles' head, or maybe making Tyke Smith go closer to the line of scrimmage, so he's got to be deeper. But I thought he played a little bit out of position last year.
Yeah, a little bit. I never thought of the tight key angle. That's a good point. That's why you're the sage.
Thank you, Lee. I want more plays out. I don't care the reason, but I got to be aware of the guy more than I am right now. I got to. I want forced fumbles. I want some sacks.
Was it last year that he had two touchdowns ripped off from him at New Orleans?
I guess he did.
Yeah, Sage, look, he needs to play up to his contract. At the time, he was the highest paid defensive back when he got his deal.
And not safety, but defensive back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, highest paid defensive
back.
Who's
the guy that just got more money as a safety?
Dermon James?
Yeah.
So just to clarify what Lee was talking about, and we've discussed
He still made the Pro Bowl last year, Winfield.
To clarify a little on what Lee was talking about, and we've hit this before on your Ira Kaufman podcast that people listen to on the iHeartRadio app. Winfield's last concussion was in 2022. So I don't know if that's still a thing that is going on anymore, protecting him.
And he had the great season in 23.
Yeah, it may have been a thought to how they used him in 2023. I don't know if it's still a thing anymore. Todd Bowles has been asked about that. I think actually Lee asked him at the Combine a couple of years ago, and Bowles said no. So you were saying Winfield said he didn't have a good year last year?
He played okay. That's all he said. Played okay.
Did you push him on that as far as what does he mean by okay? Or he just didn't think he was up to his standard or what?
Didn't make enough plays. Didn't make enough plays up to his own standard. Yeah.
You had mentioned, or Steve mentioned, he invoked Tristan Wirfs' name along with Winfield making the Pro Bowl. Now, I'm going to ask this question, but I already know the answer, so really I shouldn't. Did you see Tristan Wirfs' latest Instagram stories? The answer is no, right?
You knew the answer was good.
Yeah, Ira and I live on different worlds. Tristan Wirfs is freaking cut. He looks like a new person.
I saw him the other day out there.
And it looks scary. Now, he doesn't have a gut anymore. He looks like an Adonis.
And he looks healthy.
Well, you know, I've seen guys change their bodies and made him a worse player. He clearly changed his body. I don't know if it's going to make him better or worse because that weight helped him. There's a reason why these guys put on weight. Well, if I don't have a scale with me, if Wirfs lost weight, he put it all back on in muscle. He is chiseled. Holy smokes. Steve published earlier this week a story on Wirfs, and like as soon as I saw it, I got to put this picture in there. So I put the picture at the bottom. Is that going to hinder or hurt him, do you think?
I think it shows the pride of Tristan Wirfs. Made the Pro Bowl, but didn't have one of his best seasons.
No, he did not.
And I've said it before, Lee. He's the best player on this team, and I'm not sure it's even close.
Wow.
You might pick Mayfield. You could pick Vita Vea. I don't know where you would go.
I think you're right.
I don't think it's close.
Before, you could say Evans, maybe Levante, but now, no. You're right.
He's the best player on this team.
Yeah.
He was hampered last year, but they're not going to take him out and not play him all the other injuries.
Here's the interesting thing about Wirfs. You're not wrong at all. He probably had his worst year is a lot of people's Hall of Fame year. He had his worst year.
And when he gets beat, you and I still look at each other in the press box. Did that really happen?
Yeah. Having said that, you know, I want to say, well, he probably never got off on the right foot because he started late. He had knee surgery. However, that Seattle game, he was a complete beast. And my favorite play of Tristan Wirfs happened in that game. It was Rashad White scoring a touchdown to the left side. Wirfs had three blocks on the play. He blocked at the line of scrimmage, took his guy out. Blocked a linebacker on the second level, took him out. Blocked the poor sap of a cornerback at the goal line, took him out. And Rashad White just fouled the road grader. It was beautiful. And even though he had, for him, a down year, that didn't mean he was bad. It just inconsistent. He had some games where you just scratched your head. What's going on?
Absolutely. By the way, Steve, speaking of the Buck offensive line, I asked Light about Malk. And he said they badly missed that kind of physicality last year.
I believe it.
That Malk brings to the table. Playing to the whistle or through the whistle.
Who scored a touchdown late in the Houston game that when you watch the replay, there's freaking Malk on the goal line blocking. And it was like, wasn't it a Mayfield scramble or it was a long run? And there's freaking Malk on the goal line, like looking around like, I'll block.
He's a big, big piece of what this team's trying to do, Steve.
Well, the Bucs are committed to keeping that offensive line together. Assuming they can stay healthy, they're going to have to make some hard decisions if the lack of health continues. You don't want banged up players.
And Light acknowledged that their backup guards, basically, were not good enough.
Oh, they're terrible.
And there's always going to be a drop-off. And as Light says, you can't have 10 all-pros on your in your O-line room, but you got to do better.
If I had to criticize Light for last year, if I had to, you can't tell me he couldn't have pried loose one of those fifth-round picks or sixth-round picks and got somebody's backup. Not a practice squad.
You mean once the injuries hit?
Yeah. So, if I had to criticize Light, it would be that. Now, Ira, the backup guards, these wind block rates, they're
tricky.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it, tricky. But the two worst, and one I saw 3 or 4 months ago, I've written a couple stories about that. They're two worst in the NFL.
Is this the tribe?
Yes and no. They wasn't the tribe, but they used some of their data. They also used next-gen stats, and there's a third reference point that's legitimate, but real stat geeky. The two worst guards for win block rate. Or Michael Jordan, not that guy. Not that Michael Jordan. And Feeney, the guy from Buffalo. The worst.
Feeney's back on the roster, right, Steve?
For now.
Yeah, Bucks re-signed Dan Feeney. All you need to know is that Michael Jordan is still, like, 28 years old. He made a ton of starts last year. He's got a lot of fresh film. And he doesn't have a team this year. So, and here we are in June. So what does that tell you?
It's very telling.
Light screwed up. That's what it tells you. And, you know, we all know that they had hoped Elijah Klein would have filled that role.
Yeah.
The other guy, Haggard, who had played a little bit, he
got hurt, right?
Did okay, but then he got hurt, but then he wasn't off the roster and he never got another chance. Whatever happened last year, they kind of bungled the offensive line situation after a heroic start with Graham Barton playing left tackle and making the secret move with Bredesen and to a center. And sticking Jordan in there, who got off to a good start, it didn't stick. So, better things
this year. I think Lee's point is fair. Once the injuries hit and you saw you're scrambling, you got to plug that hole with a go give up a fifth-round draft.
It's fair, but it's a little tricky, Ira, because the Bucks were 6-2 at the trade deadline last season, which was November 4th. So, they got to that point largely without Malk, but they didn't assess the ability of their backup guards very well. So, yeah, they got caught. You know, Jason Light, I know, admitted to that personally to you in your sit-down. That's at JoeBucksFan.com.
Did the Bucks, were they lured in by the siren of the 6-2 record? Thinking, oh, we might be able to get over the hump.
Yeah, that's a good point, Lee.
I think what they were lured in by is not just the 6-2, but they believed, all right, we're looking at the landscape here. We'll get in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We'll get in there.
We got an easy second half.
We'll sneak in there and walk right in.
And then we'll get our guys back.
Easy 10 wins. We'll get a couple of guys back. We'll be good to go. Didn't happen. Mike Evans was talking about the 2025 Bucks, Ira. This week, Bill Curry Ford, since 1960, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, still family-owned and operated, third and fourth generation in there. And our friend Sean Sullivan, the general manager, he's got the Joe Bucks fan discount to hand you, the Ira Kaufman discount, whatever you want to call it. Just reach out to him through the website, BillCurryFord.com. Don't forget to click on specials, see all the incredible pricing. They've got employee pricing now, a great Ford promotion going on. Don't worry, drive Curry, schedule your mobile service as well at your home. No extra charge on that still. Unreal, Bill Curry Ford, Bill Curry Ford. .com. All right, Ira Kaufman, I've been promising you Mike Evans had to
say. Are Buck fans going to want to hear this, Steve, or are they going to turn off
this
podcast?
No, but I think we all need to still feel the pain of Mike Evans until the season starts.
Or until someone spills the beans.
Yeah, exactly. What the heck?
So, you are obsessed with Mike Evans at this point.
I'm completely obsessed with Mike Evans.
I think almost every Bucks fan is obsessed because they want to know what the hell happened.
And even if they're not obsessed, if they've moved on, they're still interested.
Yes.
Because he's the greatest receiver in franchise history. He's probably a top four player in franchise history. He's a Hall of Famer.
Best offensive player
He's someone no one is going to forget. So Mike Evans was asked by the 49ers media about losing the 1,000-yard streak. How disappointing was it? What was that like?
Well,
what
are you thinking? I hope he said I missed half the season. You know, what do you want me to do?
He didn't say that. He did say it was super disappointing. But I'll read you the quote, Ira. He said, I'm extremely competitive, and for me to not break that record, I thought I was going to be able to break it easy. How hungry I was going into that season. You know, in life, some things doesn't go your way. But I look at that injury as a blessing in disguise because I'm feeling really fresh, feeling rejuvenated. I'm in a new spot, New change like I felt I needed, and I'm looking forward to get back on that streak.
New change like I felt I needed. He didn't say like my wife felt we needed.
Oh, no. We don't know that. We don't know that.
Well, he didn't say it.
Yeah.
What's this thing about a new challenge? I'm over that. I'm over this new challenge nonsense.
Especially when NFL players are always saying, every year's a new challenge, every year's this, every year's that. I don't like that.
Until someone spills the beans. Whether it's with
and there
the,
are beans to spill.
Whether it's Mike Evans, whether his wife puts out something on Instagram, or Chris Godwin's wife puts out something on Instagram, or an ex-assistant coach pipes up, whatever. Until that happens, you gotta add the numbers that are in front of you. And it tells me that he left because he didn't like the direction of the Bucs. I always go back to that 3rd-and-28 tirade. I can't get that out of my mind. I got to believe that's a factor. That being, you know, the defense coughed up the game. I got to believe that's a factor. Whether it's 10%, I don't know. But I got to believe that's a factor because that was so unlike Mike Evans to freak out like that.
Maybe the Bucs like to tell themselves it was a family decision.
Well,
and maybe that's a way to ease the pain. rather than say, in Lee's words, I didn't like the direction of the team or the roster, which I'm focused on.
Well,
I didn't think this was a Super Bowl winning roster.
You're given the answer to the question. You're saying the Bucs' words, Lee's words, we need Mike Evans' words. And he hasn't really said, this is why I decided to move on, with any sort of depth of an answer.
He doesn't use family in explaining what happened. He doesn't use it.
That's a good point. We clearly know he didn't leave for money. Because he took a pay cut on top of the 50% taxes.
Maybe he's bad at math. Maybe, you know, I guess that's possible.
He's beloved here, or he was beloved.
He says a change he felt he needed. I don't know. But he's hungry, and fans will be watching him. I want to ask you about another guy, though. Zion McCollum, who's taken a lot of shots from fans after having a rough year last year.
Took a few shots from his head coach, too.
Yeah.
After getting paid, you know, there was a line from Todd Bowles multiple times last year, in the past couple of years, about McCollum getting bored on the field. And, you know, we had gotten clarification of what that meant. And Bowles talked about it on your podcast. And McCollum, though, got into it and didn't deny it that, you know, sometimes he's, when his number isn't getting called, he's looking into doing things and freelancing or
drifting
or looking into the backfield like he's not supposed to do if he's in man coverage, as an example, doing his job, he said, to, quote, fight that boredom. Now, that's pretty stunning.
You can't have an unfocused cornerback, Lee. Was it almost like an apology?
Kind of.
To the fans?
I don't think so. He was asked about it, and he answered the question. Yeah, it was forthcoming.
Which I applaud.
But
Thank you.
A massive red flag because he was up. See, this is where I think fans or the Bucs, either they don't see it or they can't do anything about it because he's got this guaranteed money. But he's been coached on that for years. He wasn't new in the system or new to playing cornerback or something. This is what cornerbacks are taught this in college. And even if they weren't, okay, maybe not at Sam Houston State, but he, you know, should have learned this with the Bucs, and he did, and he kept doing it.
You got a linebacker who's loafing. And you got a cornerback who's unfocused. What the hell kind of defense are you throwing out there last year?
Well, we saw that. What this tells me is this might be a bigger issue than football. It smells like he's got ADD. It's a focus issue. Now, that's how he explained it. It's a focus issue.
You don't hear this problem with cornerbacks too often around the National Football League. You don't hear it being discussed.
Well, that's one reason why I applaud him for being honest up front.
It may happen every week, but the coach doesn't come out and say he gets bored. We're working on it.
It sounds to me like he's got ADD.
If Morrison and Parrish outplay him on the outside, they're going to start.
Yeah.
And I don't care how much money they're giving McCollum.
Yeah, and I'm a McCollum fan. You know, I don't know how many times I got to thank him for being honest, but yeah, if the guy has a focus problem, again, like Steve said, he's been coached not to do that for how long now?
He's fighting for his job this year. He's fighting for his job.
He should be.
I don't care about his contract
situation.
He should be.
It doesn't always work that way in the NFL.
Bowles is coaching for his job. He's not going to put a lesser player up there.
Well, at the very least, I would hope that Bowles, little patience for a repeat of that.
We'll see if Morrison tears it up in training camp and stays healthy, which has been an issue for him, and, you know, looks great in the preseason, Bowles will have a decision to make.
And I don't think McCollum's an exceptional tackler either. He's not a great tackler.
No, he's talented as can be, athletic as can be. When Bowles is talking about all the myriad of guys he's got practicing at nickel corner, which drives me crazy, he never mentioned he's given Morrison a test drive at nickel corner.
Never.
Does that mean Morrison's already a starter at outside corner?
I never thought they envisioned Morrison playing nickel. I don't think it matches his skill set. I don't think they're granting Morrison a starting job right off the bat. He's got to earn it.
Sage, Rondi Barber said on WDAE that this has got to be McCollum's year, and then Barber followed that up by saying, but that's not pressure. I'll quote him, at some point you need to start proving that you are who you are, and for him, he needs to study himself. He needs to find a way to evaluate himself day in and day out, go to work every day with that attitude.
That's what Rondé did after his rookie season. He made himself a football player.
I understand, but McCollum's a fifth-year player making...
Yeah, I agree.
I believe his salary, was just checking, it ranks 21st or 22nd in the NFL among cornerbacks. This guy's supposed to be an established pro, capable of covering the best receivers in the game week in, week out. He's got Ja'Marr Chase in September.
No question about it. That's why the Bengals are going to be favored in that game.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised Steve's not seeing the nuance there. He's passed up the nuance.
Let's hear it.
Was that a plant? Barber's remarks? Was that a plant?
You never know. Rondé's a sharp, sharp guy. You don't mind playing some mind games, Lee. You don't mind it. I think he likes McCollum, so he's trying to light a fire.
I get the whiff that someone went up to Rondé. He's like, hey, get on McCollum's ass, would you?
All right, Sage. So, look, your rollicking podcast has come to a screeching halt here, unless you've got something even more to tell us about Jason Light. Because when we were talking about him earlier, a subject that you're obsessed with, did you talk to Light about Todd Bowles and the fans? And or have you already exhausted that with him? Was that part of your sit-down?
I think I'd already talked to him about that maybe during the combine. And he talked about it extensively about the combine. He thinks Bowles is taking too much heat. Lee, I won't ask you if you're going there, but Bowles is certainly taking heat. There's no question about it. And as a head coach, comes with the job.
I kind of think in some ways people are being unfair to him, but I understand it. And the best way to stop the heat is win games. And more importantly, don't lose games. He always finds a way to lose a couple games.
You know, Light was making a subtle point, Steve, when I asked him, is this still an ascending team? It's my first question. He said emphatically, yes.
They're young.
So I said, why? You dropped two games off your 24 record. And he went into this thing about players being underappreciated in Tampa. You mentioned Lavonte David for a lot of his career.
He was locally.
I think what he meant was during the bad Buck years, players like Lavonte David were underappreciated. That's a fair point.
Like a scarlet letter?
And now they had a bad year, and he's trying to say, our core of young players, they're not being recognized on a national basis. He's talking about guys like Yaya Diaby, I think, Tyke Smith, Jalen McMillan, Egbuka.
Well, I've got a response to all of those. With Yaya, is he that special? I don't think he fits the defense.
He's not a number one, but he's not a bad number two or three.
He's an okay number two. That's not, you know, national shows don't
build
their feature around a number two defensive
line. He doesn't think this core of good young players gets its due.
Well,
and he's proud of a core of good young players.
Well, here's my response to that. Egbuka, fantastic start. Where'd he go after October? What happened to him? So if you want notoriety, you have to play to a notoriety level. I mean, why do I keep saying Caldwell with McMillan? Jalen McMillan, he was hurt most of the year. How you going to impress people if you're, you know, in street clothes wearing a neck brace?
He could be a breakout player.
Oh, yeah.
He could be.
I'm all a fan of these guys, but to expect that ESPN's going to do a feature on McMillan catching these passes when he's not even playing, I mean, come on.
Light may be very well be right, but that's part of the team that he's built, which is he's very top-heavy with a lot of big money, established names. So your core is not going to get the same kind of attention. The Bucs aren't looked at as some young, hungry, rising team. They're looked at as something different, and they didn't play the end of last year as a young, hungry,
and
rising team.
The young secondary, there might be talent there, but they didn't play well.
Yes, you got to produce.
They didn't play well, so who's going to jump on these guys?
I mean, do we really expect Yaya? And I'm not anti-Yaya. Everybody always twists my – I'm pro-Yaya, but let's be real. Do we really expect Yaya Diaby to have the notoriety on a national level like Jared Verse?
No,
come on.
No,
yeah.
No. Maybe he's thinking of a Tyke Smith who, until he got
he's
hurt
coming along.
Year, he's a good player, Steve.
He's coming along, yeah.
But it's not like he's picking off six balls.
You know, look, he's also a safety.
You still have the market size and all that attention stuff is still real. You know, Jared Verse, obviously, I'm just looking it up here to double check it. What do you have? Sacks, 4.5 sacks as a rookie. One defensive player of the year. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't deserving, but 4.5 sacks, if you're playing for Cincinnati, might not have gotten you defensive player of the year.
Rookie defensive player of the year?
Yeah.
Okay. You said that previously.
Rookie defensive player of the year. He made the Pro Bowl, too, with 4.5 sacks. But I will say, Light's right about Lavonte David. Bucs fans never voted him into the Pro Bowl. Never, he was never top of the voting. That's because Bucs fans don't care like other cities do, and that's fact.
Stuff to ballot box.
That's fact. You're not voting for Lavonte. That's on you. It's not on anybody else.
And he's playing for a 6-10 team in 2018 or 19, you know, or 17, and nobody's paying any attention to this team. They're not on national TV, so... I hope they're not going in that direction.
You can argue that all day long, but in 2016, they were a team on the rise. 2017, they were on Hard Knocks. They were a fun, sexy...
Which he tried his best to stay away from.
They were a fun, sexy pick. Most of us picked him to win 10 in 2017. You got Jameis. You got pieces. Mike Evans is a fantasy football superstar. You know...
You got Doug Martin.
I'm just saying. You had some attention. It wasn't like all dark, you know, all the way through there. Any big plans for the rest of the weekend, Ira? Monday, or are you going to steam bath, or what are you doing?
I'm waiting for the Spielberg movie, and I'm going to be back with a bombastic review next week on our podcast.
Yeah, you ever notice how? What are you doing, Ira? Well, I'm waiting for a movie to come out. That's not an activity.
Well,
you're watching the NBA
finals.
He's stuck
in a dark theater with three other people. Meanwhile, I'm on social media finding out what's going on with Curtie Vest.
We used to rent a kayak, my wife and I, and I'd sit in the back, and person in the back supposed to do most of the work.
What do they call those?
And she goes, "Never again. You're not holding up your weight. You're not rowing enough. I'm doing all the rowing."
What do they
call? She's exhausted, and I'm sitting back there reading USA Today.
What do they call those? The rowers?
Oarsmen?
No, there's like gondolier.
Skull.
Gondolier.
Yeah, gondolier. I couldn't make it in Venice. I wouldn't last a day.